All right. So welcome to Sticky Pickles, first of 2021.
Woo!
Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is Season 2, Episode 5 of Sticky Pickles. Casper the Unhappy Ghost and Work Frenemies. Okay, Carol, you're up first, so tell me your sticky pickle.
All right, well, it is Casper's birthday, and he is going out to the pub with his mates, twin brothers Juan and Miguel.
Okay.
Do you remember going out?
Barely. Like, did we put on clothes for that? Actual trousers, pants, if you will?
I wore jeans the other day for the first time in like forever. I've been living in leggings, and I can only put them on for 2 hours. I've got to shift these off.
Yeah, same. That was me yesterday, and I was in a lot of pain. I'm not.
Exactly. What were we thinking?
The pinching. It hurt.
Now, not only is it Casper's birthday, Casper also has a bit of news to share with his buddies.
Okay.
Casper has met a girl online that he really, really likes.
Oh, all right. How old is Casper? Is he like a young...
Yeah, maybe a bit of background, Casper. Good idea. Okay, yeah. So he's like early 30s.
Okay.
He's kind of, this is a horrible way to say it, but he's kind of sees himself as a bit of a failed footballer, right? He had big, big hopes to make it, and he hurt himself in high school and just never got it. But he's the kind of guy that sports frosted tips. Do you know what I mean by that?
If that has a coded meaning, I don't know what that means, but I take that literally. Okay.
Yeah, literally. Literally, like little hair. He's got like little platinum little bits on his
hair. The Guy Fieri hair, as we say over here in the States.
What do you call it?
Guy Fieri, the chef. He's a famous like celebrity chef. He's got frosted tips. He's kind of famous for it.
Okay. Funny. Okay, yeah. So he's got those. And, you know, like he graduated college with a degree in phys ed. You know, he's kind of guy.
Yeah, okay.
He's not dated in ages, and the date is for tomorrow night, Sunday evening. And, you know, the guys are all excited. He's excited. And, you know, over beer one, you know, it's his birthday. They're talking about their friendship over the past 5 years, and they're like reliving escapades that they got up to.
Yeah.
Over beer two, Casper starts telling the twins about this date, right? Well, this girl that, you know, he doesn't know her very well, but you know, he's truly excited. So he's kind of like, she said this.
He's dishing on the girl he's about to meet, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like she likes these kind of movies, same as me, and she loves this, and she's really sporty and all that.
Okay. Promising.
Yeah. And then, but then, you know, beer three arrives and Casper's tune kind of changes a bit, and he starts telling, you know, Juan and Miguel about, you know, that he's nervous about the date.
Understandably. Yeah.
Yeah. And he starts like listing out all the things he's worried about, you know, that he'll be nervous. What if he doesn't like her in person? Mm. Or what if she doesn't like tall guys? He's like 6'2".
Okay.
What if she hates pasty guys? Because Casper's notoriously pale skin, hence the nickname.
Okay.
Casper.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not his actual name?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, unfortunate name.
His name's Philip.
Okay.
Anyway, so Juan and Miguel, okay, suddenly at this point, they jump up, right? And they say, worry no more, my friend Casper. They sing song. It's time for your present, right? Because they chose the pub that they were going to take him out for his birthday.
Okay.
So Casper Juan says, you are ghostly pale. We know it. You know it. We know you hate it. You see that tanning salon next door?
No, really?
It is run by Susanna, and she is the best. It is all paid for, and she's waiting for your arrival in 5 minutes. Happy birthday, mate. You will no longer be an Irish pasty, but a golden Italian. We'll have to think of a new nickname for you, they say.
Oh, my God. And he's 3 beers in, right? Or 4 at this point.
He's 4. He's on his 4th at the moment, right?
4 beers in and spray tan time.
You know, Casper, like, exactly. Normally he would hesitate, right? And hem and haw. But there's, like, this time sensitivity. 5 minutes, she's expecting him. He's never been in his tanning salon despite having the frosted tips.
I mean, one would assume when one has the frosted tips,
right?
One has been into the tanning salon. It follows logically. Understood.
Exactly.
Yes. Sound logic.
But, you know, he's 4 beers in his belly. He's about to panic. But then he hears himself say, Jesus, lads, like right now.
That was a good accent. Got to give Graham some lessons. Thank you very
much. You're obviously not Irish or Northern Irish. Okay,
no, I'm not.
So they say, yes, yes, right now, right now. They say, down your last beer. And they walk him over and introduce him to Susanna. And you know what? She is lovely. And she says, everything is fine. It's just like taking a shower. Well, a shower where you keep all your holes closed, right, and covered.
Because it is a spray tan and not a tanning
it's
bed.
It's like dye being shot at you.
Yeah.
It's like being in a, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but very much like a shower.
Or you wear the really awkward bikini. Yeah. That's.
So all he needs to do is he needs to strip down in a little cubicle, right, put on a paper G-string thing, rub in the provided cream on his hands, feet, elbows, and get into the tanning stall thingy, right? 10 minutes later, he'll be a bronzed Adonis. And the guys decide to wait there, right? So he jumps into the shower and they're really excited to see him. But when he emerges, it's clear that a number of things have gone wrong.
Oh, man.
So number one, Susanna, flustered by having these three cool footballer guys in her tanning salon, failed to reset the tanning level. And her previous customer was a regular guy, you know, who comes all the time. But his tan is called like cruise set leather.
Leather. Yes. Oh, God.
So yeah, really, really, really dark. Right. And this guy had no base or anything. Like, you build up on these things. This guy just went straight in. So there's this really, it's not good. Also, nervous about being his little paper G-string thingy in front of Susanna, completely forgot to put on the cream on his hands and elbows and stuff, which are now rivered with dark tan stain, a bit like Rudy Giuliani, but even worse, because his palms are like this red, like they have reddish round smears all over his palms.
Oh, God. I mean, one's palms should not be the same color as one's skin.
No,
generally. It's usually,
no.
Yeah. So,
and in unison, the twins say, oh, fuck. And Casper just freaks out. I have a bleeding date tomorrow. She's going to think I blacked up. What the fuck do I do?
Oh, my God.
Gwen and Miguel are like too horrified even to laugh.
And this is four beers in. They're too horrified to laugh. That's, yes. That's, you would think after four beers, they'd be literally pissing themselves laughing. for all sorts of reasons. If they're not laughing four beers in, you've got a really big problem.
Well, they were kind of hoping. They thought it would be funny just to see him with a tan, but this is way beyond their expectations. And maybe they're going to laugh a little later. But right now, they're just staring and saying nothing because they're like, oh, my God, he's going to blame us.
He looks like a briefcase.
Right? Oh, and the worst thing is that Casper's frosted tips now seem to positively gleam. As they contrast so sharply with his new
skin
color.
They're so happy to have a friend.
So what the fuck do I do, he says. Yeah, so Maria, can you help him?
I cannot. I'm sorry. End of segment. I mean, this feels so outside of my wheelhouse. My instinct would be to say, if he's really feeling bad about it, to take a picture of himself and send it to his date and be like, I fucked up. Can we postpone? Or if you're willing to see me like looking like a creamsicle, here I am. I don't know. I that's probably too humiliating for most people, especially maybe like a footballer type. So maybe just tell her that you got sick. Be like, I have COVID. Let's delay 2 weeks. I need to quarantine. I'm sorry.
Susanna starts crying at this point, right? Saying she's going to lose her job if he complains. And through her wails, she says like hot steamy showers and lots of scrubbing might help, right?
Yeah.
Casper can't take it out on her. He says, fine, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Sort it out. Grabs a cab home, right? Too embarrassed to walk the streets looking the way he does. And immediately hits the shower.
Yeah.
And after 24 hours and six hot showers, he is red raw and smeared with varying degrees of tanning dye.
Yeah.
And the date is now a few mere hours away, which he hadn't canceled. Sure that he'd be able to sort this out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh boy,
you know, Miguel and Juan say, oh, she probably won't even notice, but he sends them a pic of his palms. Literally look like shit. Literally look like he's just been.
It's just, you know, chocolate. It's just chocolate.
So what do you do? Do you go on the date? Don't mention it at all. Do you wear a big hoodie?
No. No, you don't.
You wear a big hoodie, regulate the facial look, and keep your hands in your hoodie pocket.
That's so sketchy. Oh my God, you're going on a date with a guy, he's got a hoodie on, and he doesn't take his hands out of his pockets? No, that's immediately leave. The guy doesn't take his hands out of his pockets. What's he doing in there? No. Absolutely not.
You sure? What if you just went like to, you know how there's restaurants in London, certainly, where you can go and you have like a blind experience where you go blindfolded?
Okay, that would actually be very clever. Yeah, you could have one of those blind dinners or go somewhere where the lighting is just really, really low. Like,
yeah,
go clubbing where they have black lights. And when you light up, you'll be like, yeah, I totally meant for this to happen. You know, like, don't my teeth look super white and my skin looks awfully orange? But no, it's just the black lights.
Casper called and explained the scenario, right? He said, I just look like shit, literally. And she just laughed and suggested they reschedule, but they had an evening having online dinner date where he had the lights real, real low.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, well, I wish them the best. Wow. Yeah, there should be like a rule before you go on like a first date or anywhere where first impressions matter a lot, like a 2-week grace period where you don't, or maybe 1 week where you don't make like a drastic change to your appearance. Like if you're going to get a haircut, do it a week before. So if it's fucked up, like it has a week to sort of grow in so you can recover or like that's get it true. Fixed somewhere else. Like don't do it the day before.
It's so exciting though, the day before thing.
Yeah.
You know, for a date. Dun, 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 dude, my hair. Dun, dun, dun.
It's been so long since I've been on a first date. I don't remember anymore. I'm such an old biddy.
So long since I left the house. Jesus.
Oh, I know. What are pants even? I'm sorry, trousers. For our non-US. I am wearing undergarments. Let me just be clear. Oh my God.
All right, Maria, your turn. Tell me about your sticky pickle work frenemies.
Work frenemies. So, Curl, have you ever worked a job where...
a job.
So have you ever worked a job? Have you ever been in an office in real life? Have you ever talked to other people face-to-face?
I vaguely remember.
Yeah, those were times. Those existed. So have you ever worked a job where it's really high pressure and you end up having, like, trench camaraderie with your colleagues?
Yes. Where you feel like you trust them with your life.
Yes. Even though you may not even know their spouse's name or anything about them outside of the work environment.
Yep.
Like you're like, I trust you with my life because we've been through hell and back with like.
It's like a work pinky swear, you know, relationship thing.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
So our person with our conundrum, Helen, she's in that situation. She has been at a super high stress job for about the last 4 years. And she has developed a very close trench friend. We should make a phrase for this. Like that kind
friendship.
Of friendship. A trenchship. A trenchship with one of her colleagues. Let's call her Kendra. And Helen and Kendra, again, would trust each other with their lives, even though they don't know much about each other outside of work.
Got you. So like they're close, but not close at all, but close.
Yeah, like they get lunch together. Helen thinks Kendra's super nice and you know, wouldn't say that Kendra's like her best friend, but they always are, you know, chatting to each other on the work chats and, you know, talking about sometimes outside of work stuff, but they spend all of the work time together outside of meetings and when their head's down working. So Helen was like,
I can just see them gossiping constantly about everyone in the office.
Yeah.
Like, did you see what Frank was wearing today? Oh my God.
Or, you know, like, let's go get lunch together. Let's go to that nice takeout place that's a few blocks away and then we'll chat in the car, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'll grab you some coffee or let's go get coffee together, that kind of thing. And it's like, and like, talking to Kendra is Helen's big relief. And it's just so awesome to feel like she's got somebody in her corner when, you know, work really sucks. So, it's awesome having that kind of trendship. So Helen has noticed that as she has gotten friendlier with Kendra, letting Kendra know more about Helen's personal life, you know, thinking maybe that they can open this friendship up outside of work terms. Helen has started to see a side to Kendra that she doesn't really like. So she has learned that Kendra has some very, very strong opinions about, like, clothing brands and where people live and what kind of schools they send kids to. Like, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're a terrible person, and only a good parent would send their kid to the most expensive schools and buy the certain brands because anyone else is trashy.
So it's like she has like a narrow kind of view on how one should live.
Correct.
Like, this is the right way to live, and if you live outside these parameters,
you're just, you know, you're a garbage person. Right.
You're a garbage person.
Yeah. And Helen has also started to notice that, like, it actually, Kendra, some of these opinions spill over into work, where it's like, there's only one way to do a certain thing. And even if the way I do this work thing is not a best practice, it's the best because it's what I want to do. So she Kendra always finds a way to justify her opinions at work and how she does things.
Let me show you how to use the photocopier. You're obviously using it incorrectly.
Exactly. And even if the most inane things. It's like that Pandora's box has been opened, where Helen never noticed these things about Kendra before, but now that she is, she's seeing it everywhere. And, you know, Helen's really sad because she felt like she was developing a really good relationship, work friendship with Kendra. And, you know, they've known each other for like 4 years, and Helen and Kendra are not going anywhere. They're going to stay working at this job, as far as Helen knows. So Helen's like, I got to pull back from this.
Yeah.
I have this friendship with Kendra, but now that I've seen the unseeable.
I never wanted to see seeable.
Yeah, I can't not see that now. So I need to still work with her. She's still my colleague. She's still my trench friendship.
Yeah.
But I gotta pull back from this friendship. So her.
But they haven't been hanging out outside the office. She was dilly-dallying about the idea of bringing it to that level, right?
I mean, yeah, but Helen's also saying that Kendra's very intuitive and very sensitive. So she's like, if I just stop hanging out with her, like if I just cut it off, going, oh, sorry, I can't meet you for lunch today. Like Kendra's going to know what's up. So Helen's like, how do I do this? Because
Helen not just suck it up for work purposes?
Like explain.
Like just like literally like just let it wash over her? Or does she go on the offensive and kind of go, I'm not sure I agree with that, actually, and try and broaden Helen's scope of vision? Because she obviously has influence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So basically like get up sort of politely in her face with a contrary opinion.
Well, if she offers something very like strongly viewed, I mean, I'd let loads of things slide because, you know,
who
everyone
cares?
Has different opinions,
yeah.
Right?
It's
just the way life works. And the older you get, the more you know that, and the less you try and control it if you're smart, I think.
That's true. Or instead of being confrontational, could Helen just go really boring, like limp fish?
That's kind of like, what's it called? Like psychological ghosting. Don't you think?
Yeah, basically like no longer being mentally present, just like, yeah, Kendra, whatever you say. Yeah, you're totally right all the time. Yeah.
I just think that's wussy. I don't know. I think I'd go, I don't know if I'd agree with that, you know, and see where that, you don't have to be offensive. You could just be like, I don't know if I agree with that. Interesting idea. I'm not sure.
One suggestion that I had been mulling over was, instead of going limp fish in an offensive way, what if Helen starts bringing to the table like her own conversation starters that are like extremely boring? Like, you know, I'm getting into gardening, and you know, have you ever thought about the pH of your soil? It's really important that you measure the pH of your soil, and like just start talking about like really.
I'd be totally into that.
I know, I know you would. I would too, actually. But I'm just trying to think of like somebody who's like really into Gucci, probably not really interested in pH of their soil.
Yeah.
And like, have you thought about the composition of your compost?
Like, so Kendra hasn't changed her tune. Kendra's always been the same as she's always been, presumably. She's always dressed in that kind of clothing. She spends money on clothes. She's into that kind of stuff.
She really believes in status. She's a big status seeker, I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I kind of think Helen's the one who's being a bit flippy floppy, right?
That could be very true.
Because like she's always been that way. And even though you don't like, you know, her personal stuff, you also could just keep your friendship at a work level and you know, like you liked her before, you wanted to be her best BFF. So why don't you just dial it back, Helen?
But how does she dial it back without Kendra going, what's wrong?
Oh, no, I mean her emotions. Her emotions.
Just dial
her back. You know, like don't get your knickers in a twist because you don't agree with Kendra. And you don't have to agree with what she says.
Yeah, that's the beauty of work friendship. Or friendship in general. You don't like the same band as me, you're out.
Exactly. Like, you know, yeah, yeah. If I worried about that with my husband, oh my God, we'd have been divorced years ago. Just different people, man.
It's true.
So what did Helen end up doing? Do we have any?
We have no update. I think Helen's looking for help. So
calm the fuck down, I think, is the answer.
Yeah, I you know, I personally would just basically be very unavailable sometimes. I'd be like, I can't get lunch today. I'm super sorry. I've got a meeting. And then just like let it cool a little bit. And then that way Kendra's not like, why are you having lunch with Bob instead of me? Like, just let it cool a little bit. And, you know, still talk to Kendra, but you don't have to be like joined at the hip.
I know, but then you lose your trendship.
It sucks. It sucks.
And you're killing your trendship, which is a really important relationship in an office. Trust
me. I know it. Some of my trendships have lasted outside of work.
And here we are.
Here we are. So, I mean, some of the good ones can really last, but I know. It's like, do you know what it's like working at a place like that?
Let me think. So there you go. That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And you can even email us your conundrums at hello@stickypickles.com. We'd love to hear from you. And anything else you need, you can always find on stickypickles.com. Bye!
Bye! See you next week! This Sticky Pickles episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Barmazes and Carol Terrio. Inspired by the internet, embellished by us.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right.